Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A few thoughts about the Muslim ban. The first thing is that obviously this is not a part of the war on terror. The attack, the possibility of a terror attack being perpetrated by a refugee is minuscule. The chance of an American dying because of a terrorist attack perpetrated by a refugee is 1 in 3.6 billion. The authorities obviously know this, the FBI knows this, the administration knows this, local law enforcement obviously is aware of this. So this isn't about the war on terror, rather there's something much more sinister at play. What's at play is this. This is part of a greater scheme to get the oppressed to fight the oppressed, neighbors to fight neighbors, friends to go against one another, co-workers to dislike one another. In the meantime, much more sinister plans be put into play. The Trump administration has other much more sinister plans that they're going to implement, and everyone, Muslims and non-Muslims, all American citizens need to be vigilant and waiting for what's really going to happen. None of the protesters should think that just because a few American citizens or green card holders have been allowed into the country, that the struggle is over. Also, we notice that if this issue, that the politicians, we also feel the politicians should be held to account for their commitments. If this is really an issue which is only being pushed by the new president and the neocons who surround him, then why is it that we don't see a much more of an outcry from politicians, be they senators or congressmen and congresswomen, on this issue and those things which are happening and those things which are about to come? The next thing to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, is that this is an opportunity, a very good opportunity. One of the things that we can use this opportunity for is to introduce Islam as is to other people, to those who don't know Islam. This is actually imperative that it take place. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn what Islam is from the true sources and then introduce this with good akhlaq to our neighbors, friends, co-workers, and anyone who might be interested. It's imperative that this happen, and we have to introduce Islam without changing it. In addition to this, brothers and sisters, we have to make sure that we implement Islam without fear. We can't be operating from fear, brothers and sisters. As it says in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلْ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O you who believe, take care of your own soul. He who is misguided cannot harm you if you are rightly guided. Brothers and sisters, the outpouring of love, compassion, mercy, and support by our fellow American citizens demonstrated that we don't have to hide our faith or be ashamed. We can practice, and we must practice Islam without fear, which is our right and our duty. So implementing Islam is another one of those very important steps. Brothers and sisters, we also have to implement Islam's instructions when it comes to facing oppression. As Imam Hussein taught us, alayhi salam, hayhat minna dhilla. Humiliation is far removed from us. When you're at the borders, you must be let into the country. You must answer basic questions truthfully, but when you are selected for secondary questioning, refuse to answer any questions about your political or religious beliefs. When the authorities explain to you that they're just doing their job, you explain that you are just doing yours. Be polite but firm. You don't want this to become the new normal. Say that you are an American citizen and that you've been religiously profiled. Explain that you want a lawyer and that you want to speak to a supervisor. You must not unlock your phones, and you don't have to tell them about your social media. Do file a complaint. If you do not, it will get worse. These new measures that are being enacted are not just affecting Muslims whose parents are immigrants. This is affecting indigenous Muslims also, who are converts or the children of converts. You're being rewarded for doing your duties at this time. You are being rewarded for your patience and resistance. ذلك بأنهم لا يصيبهم ظمأ ولا نصب ولا مخمصة في سبيل الله ولا يطؤون موطئا يغيظ الكفار ولا ينالون من عدو نيلا إلا كتب لهم به عمل صالح إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. That is because no thirst, nor toil, nor hunger befalls them in the way of Allah, nor do they take any step in raging the disbelievers, nor do they endure aught at the hands of the enemy, but a righteous deed is written for them on its account. Truly Allah does not neglect the reward of the virtuous. Finally, I would like to thank the brothers and sisters who are courageously practicing Islam, all of Islam, including Islam's laws when it comes to oppression. I appreciate our neighbors, friends, co-workers, and those complete strangers who rushed to our assistance when they saw that our rights were being trampled. I thank and pray for all of the legal experts who are tirelessly placing their time and legal advice at our disposal. But more than anyone, I have to thank our Muslim sisters for their bravery and grace under pressure. Those sisters who are wearing the hijabs, who are the visible flags of Islam, who are, from an outward point of view, would seem to be the weaker gender, they are now courageously defending Islam by their very presence and by doing their Islamic responsibility. Sisters, may Allah bless you, may Allah protect you, and the rest of us are admiring your efforts from afar. Know that you are in our prayers. In the end, brothers and sisters, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And they plotted, and Allah plotted, and He is the best of plotters. As Imam Sadiq tells us, we are to expect the war at any time. So, obviously, this is one of those times when we hope that Allah will hasten the reappearance of the Savior of all of mankind. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.